Hello and welcome to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
Before we share who our special guest is today, Joe's going to remind us of our show's purpose.
Well, the co-host is going to remind you of the show's purpose.
Okay, go.
But the show's purpose is to unite people of service with people that have stories of service. And the whole point of that is that, you know, we connect to service projects and to people through acts of kindness, service. And we want to just showcase that on this show. And hopefully it inspires you to get out there and serve.
Well,
or join Rotary.
Yeah.
Well, the topic today was cybersecurity.
Yep.
But Mike did a really good job of talking about, until we got into that topic, yeah, about how you can serve and the different ways, you know, down to the city level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Mike Pfeiffer, he is the cybersecurity expert, and you'll find out here in this episode he's an owner of a cybersecurity company.
Yeah. Lots wealth of knowledge.
A mayor, and he's 70 other hats and things like that, and he talks a lot about the small town life, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
What was your key takeaway, Chad? Go.
That I'm not doing enough to protect my cybersecurity, that's for sure.
And I think when you listen to the show, you'll go, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
When you listed them out, I went, I got to do more.
For me, one password for everything.
Yeah. Well, I got to change mine from 1234, so.
Well, we will be back here so you can hear a little bit more about Mike Pfeiffer. And I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
I'm Chad Larson. We'll be back.
Rotary is a place for all community-minded people who want to serve their areas with the support of an international organization. Join Rotary to find service. Join Rotary to find inclusion. Join Rotary to find leadership. Join Rotary to find fun. Join Rotary to find friendship. Join Rotary to find a better version of the world. Find a Rotary Club near you at Rotary.org and click on Club Finder. There is a club out there for everyone. Find your fit with Rotary. Rotary.org.
For decades, eradicating polio worldwide has been Rotary's cornerstone cause. We are incredibly close to ridding the globe of this virus, but we need everyone's help to get us to the goal. World Polio Day is October 24th. Please consider making a new donation to Polio Plus or increasing your already generous giving. Go to endpolio.org to be a part of this historical eradication of polio. You will help get vaccinations to the most remote parts of our world and help fulfill a promise we made to end polio now. Two drops and it stops.
Up your game and show off your Rotary Club spirit. Did you know there's a one-stop shop for all things Rotary apparel? Russell Hampton Company is the world's largest provider of licensed Rotary branded merchandise. From apparel like hats, jackets, and shirts to banners, tents, and awards, they have it all. And most things are customizable. And they can handle orders of all sizes. Russell Hampton Company also has deep connections to Rotary. In 1920, the company founder was part of Rotary Club No. 1 in downtown Chicago. Russell Hampton Company models their business on the Rotary four-way test and gives back 10% of all purchases to Rotary, supporting its global work. So the next time you and your club are out on a service project, arrive with the right swag from Russell Hampton Company to promote your club and Rotary. Even non-Rotarians will want some of your cool hats, shirts, and jackets. Learn more at bestclubsupplies.com. That's bestclubsupplies.com.
Hello and welcome back to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
Before we dive into who our guest is today, Chad is going to share with us a little bit about our
Sponsor.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we want to thank Russell Hampton for sponsoring the show, the number one printer for Rotary. If you're watching online, you can see some of the stuff they've printed for us. We've got a couple of big tumblers. We've got a cutting board, a hat, but they can print anything. So whether you want some Rotary gear or you need some printing or promotional stuff for your business, check them out at RussellHampton.com.
And Chad's using the coffee mug for those that you can see it. It's great.
Yeah.
It's perfect advertising and functional. Yes. I'll just use my little Dixie cup here.
I'll have to get you a Rotary mug so you can
We got
that.
Some for you.
There we go. All right. We have yet again another special guest on today, and his name is Mike Pfeiffer. He is not only a cybersecurity expert, but he is the founder of CyberFi LLC, cybersecurity coach and consultant. And let's just continue to add to the list. Mayor of Long Beach, Minnesota, and fellow Rotarian. Welcome, Mike. We are so honored to have you.
I think you buried the captain of the axe throwing team.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Sorry, Mike.
And you, it looks like you're...
Yeah, we're one and one, though, on that.
Nice. It looks like you're wearing a Rotary shirt yourself as well.
I am, too.
Is that from our sponsor?
Got the Rotary shirt on.
So, Mike, in this this first bit of our interview, we really like to take the opportunity to have our listeners get to know you as a guest. And so my first question for you is, are you up in the Long Beach area? Is that where you are hailing from?
We are. So I've been in Long Beach for about 12 years now. Long Beach is a small city, about 338 people. And we are about 20 minutes south of Alexandria, right on the west edge. I like to say we're a suburb of Glenwood. So okay. Glenwood is the nearest, closest city at 2,500. So we're just on the west edge of that, right nestled between Lake Minnewaska and Pelican Lake.
Very cool. That's where Lloyd is from.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was like, Glenwood sounds so familiar.
Yep. He is, yep. Our, in fact, my gear is a little out of date. We just renamed our... Rotary from the Glenwood Rotary to Minnewaska Rotary. And then it covers all five towns that are nearby. So it's an area rotary now.
That's the name of the high school up there too, isn't it?
It is. Yep. Minnewaska area. It's just about 3 miles down the road.
All right, cool.
And how long have you been a Rotarian?
So I got involved with Rotary about 5 or 6 years ago. David, one of the folks on the Minnewaska Rotary team, invited me to a lunch, and he had known my wife. They worked out together at the health club in town, and he invited me, and I came, and I hadn't really known a lot about Rotary. You hear about it a lot when you're in a small town, but then I got to know the people and really opened my eyes up to service and what Rotary is all about.
Very cool. So right before COVID hit too, so yeah. You really got entrenched and then COVID hit, I bet.
It was, and that was in some ways because I'm a tech guy, right? I'm at the time I was VP of technology at American Solutions for Business. So we actually did virtual meetings. So we moved to a virtual meeting and was able to help both Rotary with that and then also the city itself. We were fortunate in this area in Pope County, a small county, provided through the deed, the funding through Minnesota. We had just gotten fiber to the home established 2 months before the pandemic hit.
Wow.
So that was very fortunate.
Look at that timing.
Yeah.
And I know important for the city business and Rotary, but probably even more important for the schools.
Very much so. Yep. Across the board. And in fact, in the cities, a lot of all y'all were pushed to your homes in the suburbs. And then once you folks realized, well, we can work remote from the homes in the suburbs, why don't we come and buy a house up north? And so we saw a great influx migration from folks in the Twin Cities area moving up here and getting a lot of houses. And since we had fiber, they were able to do that, which has been nice for Rotary and all the other clubs because it's an influx of folks into the area.
There you go. And you're the mayor, obviously. How long have you been the mayor up there?
Well, when I got bought this property here where I'm at now, my home in 2013, and I'm one of those weird guys that pulls down the ballot. So in for the election in 2014, I pulled the ballot and we had a mayor and two council seats open and nobody running for it. So I was like, that seems unfortunate. So I talked to my neighbor who was the mayor and I said, I would serve on the council because at the time we didn't have email. We didn't have a website. It was very paper-based, small city town. And I thought, well, I'm a tech guy. I can come in and help them out. And so we organized a write-in campaign. I got elected with 20 votes, I believe, and became part of the council.
Look
so
at
then
that.
That was in 2014. My first meeting, I said, hey, I'm here to set your tech stuff up. And they said, oh, well, you're replacing Jerry, and Jerry is a sewer guy, so you got to do sewer. So
well then.
with my IT background, I was able to fit right into sewer, and I fixed the sewer stuff in 2 years, and then I did the tech stuff. So we did all of our digital transformation by 2018, and when the pandemic hit, we were a small city that was really prepared for it.
That's really cool.
I can't say that a lot of people have had that answer.
Right. Yeah.
It's a little bit unique. And one of the nice things, I was on the council for 4 years, so 14 to 18. And then at the time, our mayor had retired, and he was replaced by someone that was a snowbird. So they were moving, didn't really want the full-time mayor spot. So then I took over as mayor, and now I'm in the middle of my third term as mayor.
What has been the most satisfying thing that you've done as mayor?
You know, I think that to me, when I joined, I was the youngest person on the council. So we're a small city, statutory A city. So we've got five council members, and the mayor, it's a weak mayor city. So the mayor is really just a council member that presides over the meeting. And when I joined, I was the youngest of five older adult white male folks on the council. Mm-hmm. And so since then, through active recruiting and finding folks, I'm now the oldest on the council, and we have a lot of youth. And at one point we had two women and three men. So we've really brought some diversity to the council, and I think that's helped represent the city more effectively than just a bunch of folks that have been here forever. So that's been fun.
Maybe talk a little bit more about how did you go about changing that culture, because it's the same kind of mm-hmm. conversation that we're having with Rotary. You know, Rotarians, and how mm-hmm. Rotary's fighting that same battle. And I'd be really curious how you guys attacked it. And, you know, you obviously saw some success of not only engaging younger folks, but also diversifying, you know, male, female. So mm-hmm. maybe talk a little bit more about that.
Joe, that's a great question. And throughout my career, I've always looked for that is when I was a scout master when I was in Omaha, and you look to get people involved and help you out with organizations. And a lot of people say, well, you look for somebody who's not very busy so they can help you. And it's actually the opposite of that. You look for somebody who is busy, because the ones that aren't busy are not busy by choice. Yeah. So you find somebody who's busy, somebody who's engaged and active. One of the folks, my current clerk, Pasha, I recruited her actually at a community meeting to talk about the internet. When the internet was coming in, she was active in that meeting and had asked some good questions. And I said, hey, you know, I knew she lived in Long Beach, and that's one of the requirements, right, for a council. And so I said, you know, really consider this. In fact, her father-in-law was the mayor that I replaced. So she was familiar but had never taken that step to give it a try or even to think she could. And so I had her come in. She attended the meeting and saw what it was about. It's similar to Rotary, where our biggest challenge in Rotary is to get to somebody to come to a lunch. You know, we currently do lunches every other week, the first and third week on Tuesdays. And our biggest gain of new members is come and see what it's about. And so that's really the process that I used. And then also another council member that was on that retired as well, he did the same thing with one of his neighbors. He recruited a younger folk that had moved into the area. He said, you know, Will, come out and check it out. And Will was actually running for school board. And so he was on the ballot and couldn't be on the ballot twice, because that's a Minnesota thing. You can only be on for one office. So we organized a write-in campaign, and he missed the school board, but we got him written into our council. So that was another way we brought in youth member. And it's just been a good journey that way. And it's not necessarily just for the sake of diversity. It's to help represent the overall community, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that folks that are older than me don't need to be on the council. I think if they're active and involved, they should be. It really amounts to everybody getting involved. And in fact, I think from a like Rotary, I think civic service is one of those things that a lot of people should try, because we tend to let, you know, at the city level, at least it's nonpartisan. So we don't ever talk about politics. We don't. In fact, my clerk is probably a pretty liberal Democrat, and I'm probably more of a conservative Republican, but it never comes up because it's nonpartisan. We're both very interested in doing the best for the city, and we focus on that. And it's similar to that in Rotary, right? When we're at Rotary meetings, we don't talk politics. We talk, what can we do for the community? It's been a huge improvement in looking at and broadening out up to Minnewaska area, because now we've got 5 cities that we draw from where you can find those good people.
That's wonderful.
Very cool.
It's a good little tie-in too with what you know, what you're actively doing and that civic service, as you mentioned, and then kind of that parallel to what's happening within Rotary as well.
Yeah, very much. Mm-hmm. And it looks like you obviously like to serve the community. When did you first start, whether it's volunteering or serving? I assume it was probably before moving up there. But what was kind of the first thing that got you involved with service?
You know, I've always loved small towns because you can be involved with different things. I my first job out of college was up in War Road, Minnesota. In 86, and I joined the volunteer fire department. So I was a firefighter up there. I think that's one area you see in Glenwood is something where that is still a community-based event, right? Where you young folks, ideally young folks, they don't want old guys like me anymore. So you get young folks in to join the fire department and they get involved. I think small towns have an awesome opportunity for you to sample different things. Right. You would never know what you like or what you try. And Rotary is a perfect example of that. And our Rotary especially is it's not homogenous as far as all of the people do all of the things all of the time and all the same way. We've got some guys that have been on Rotary for 50 or more years, and they want to make sure that every year they do the Waterama pancake breakfast, and that's their thing. You know, we've got other folks that are involved with Rotary, and they're at every meeting, they're at every event, and that's one thing that they love to do, that camaraderie. But to me, what helps is when you have a group that's open to all, right? We don't want to exclude somebody just because, well, they only want to flip pancakes at the pancake breakfast. If that's their Rotary thing, love it, right? You know, it's like, do your Rotary thing. And that's been a big draw for me. I was actually headed towards Rotary leadership, but then I was tapped to be a United Way board member. So United Way is another service area that I'm very involved with, and they had needed a board position and reached out to me. So about 2 years ago, I joined the board there. Well, they happen to meet on the third Tuesday of every month, which overlaps a Rotary meeting, and that's their only monthly meeting. So then it came necessary for me to say, okay, well, I'll keep being an active member, but I'm actually going to be on the board for United Way.
Do your Rotary thing. I like that. I just wrote that down. I'm stealing that. That's a good marketing campaign.
You know, and I think, Joe, it's a great way for, because a lot of people look at it and they're like, oh, I don't know if I can go to, you know, at one point in time, we did lunches every Tuesday. And they were like, I don't know if I can do a lunch every Tuesday. You know, I work for a living. Well, that's great. You don't have to go to any lunch. You can simply go to the events that work for you, because it's all about serving the community. In fact, mm-hmm. I was rushing to get here today because my wife and I were serving Meals on Wheels this morning. So I serve Meals on Wheels. It's a Rotary function here in town, but we also do it for American. She works at American as well. She's a web designer. And so as part of the American team, we do Thursdays for Meals on Wheels. And as part of Rotary, I do a 1 or 2 months or 1 or 2 weeks on Tuesdays. And so we both do both those. And that's a very rewarding function to be involved with too. If you've never done Meals on Wheels, you get to drive around the community. You get to hand meals out to people that either can't get out, or maybe they It's something that the, it's an area or an opportunity for them to get good nutrition, and you're checking on them. You get to know these people. It's such a rewarding experience to both contribute and do, and then also for those folks to receive, right? That might be the best hot meal they get that day. And so you're delivering that to them, and it takes no more than an hour. It's not a lot of time out of our lives. And in fact, I think it's great time for my wife and I to talk through what's going on, because we don't always get a chance to do that.
Huh. Amazing. Yeah. That's really great. And dual purpose. I like how you've made it where, you know, it's just not just service, but you're also going, well, how do we leverage this time to, you know, spend some time with each other, catch up, stay in pulse? I think that's really effective, that sometimes we forget about that service can also serve other components of your life as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. David Shepherd is one of the Rotarians in our group, and a shout out to him. He captains that whole process and organizes the cats to deliver all the meals. And it's an awesome event. We also support, and I have an overlap here, is Rotary supports the food drop, where United Way does food drops. We do right now our United Way of Douglas and Pope counties, so that's the two counties we're in up here. They do a food drop in Douglas 1 month and in Pope 1 month. And so when they do the Pope County one, that's where our Rotary is. So we'll have five or six Rotarians support that effort. And that's another really tremendous partnership of the United Way working with the Rotary and the volunteer base and the food shelves or food banks to deliver the food. You know, when it comes into Pope County, it's between 120 and 150 people every month that receive that food. And they get about five bags of food. It's roughly maybe three or four meals. And that's one thing that can help them out, right? And we've seen with the rise of inflation, you know, coming out of COVID, obviously was a big jump in the number of people needing a food drop. But then with the inflation we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years and food prices going up, we continue to see a strong demand needing the food as an area. So that's an area. And there again, it's very rewarding and sometimes very moving to see and to serve mm-hmm. people that are getting nutrition in an area, helping them make ends meet.
Yeah, that's incredible. Mike, could you just share with our listeners what United Way is?
Sure. The United Way is a national organization that supports, it helps people. So they help from a financial standpoint when they can. They help with literacy, and they help serving the area. You'll see some of the events you may be familiar with would be the coat drive. So every fall mm-hmm. they do a coat drive mm-hmm. where they provide coats for folks in the community who need it. They have a number of programs throughout the year where they raise funds. The United Way national organization sanctions the local organizations. So in Minnesota, there's probably 10 or 12 United Ways, usually a group of counties. So in our area, United Way of Douglas and Pope serves Alexandria and Glenwood and the surrounding areas there. Like Wilmer has a United Way, and they serve about a 5, 6, 7 county area. St. Cloud, same thing, about a 5 county area. And they're really focused on leveraging volunteers in the community. It's mostly volunteer driven. There's usually a small staff at each office, and then they provide services that are needed by those in the community in need. So it's really people helping people. Mm-hmm. And 211 is a good number to call if you're in need of services, if you need to understand, maybe you need housing, right? Because you're not really sure where you're going to be able to stay. 211 is the first call you can make. They'll find out where you're at, and they'll put you in touch with the resources that can help you out there.
Wow, that's really incredible. Cool. I've heard of United Way, but I wasn't quite entirely sure. So selfishly, I wanted to hear a little bit more, but I do think that it was pertinent for our listeners as well.
Very much. You bet.
Well, we haven't gotten into cybersecurity yet, so tell us a little bit, which I know we want to talk about. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved in your career and more about that.
You bet. So I went to school for computers, if you will. So in 86, I went to DeVry in Kansas City, computer information systems degree. And in the 38 odd years since I've been involved with technology, I've worked my way up and have been kind of piqued my interest on the cybersecurity front. So I was doing cyber, you know, back in the days, even around the year 2K, before it was really a big known thing. We were just getting onto the internet, if you remember, in 96. In fact, I worked for a company in 96, and I remember doing a presentation. We were a software company, and the presentation was to our senior leadership, and it was on the internet, and it was that the internet just isn't a passing fad. It's going to be here for a while, because at the time, our software company said, well, software is software. You won't need this internet thing. Well, actually, we did, right? And so I think cybersecurity runs along that gamut now. I was with American for 11 years, and American Solutions for Business, because of their name, they get a host of cyber attacks from nation states, from everywhere else. Their domain is AmericanBus.com. And so we've had attacks where we've found that they wanted to stick at that American bus company, right? So, and it can go from organized crime all the way down to hacktivists. So folks that are trying to hack to maybe put PETA or get their message out there. Right now, there's a lot of traffic based on the what's happening in Israel with Palestine and Israel. Right. So also Ukraine and Russia, there was a lot of attacks there. So my company that I founded recently is focused on helping small business and individuals with their cybersecurity. So if you think about right now, and you may have seen stories that a lot of the hackers in China and Russia are starting to target small businesses and individuals because the larger businesses are getting hardened. Right. And bad actors are really lazy. Right. They don't want to try to fight a company that's got really good cybersecurity when they can just send an email out to an individual and say, what's your password and with a phishing email? And that individual clicks on it and provides them their password and their credentials. That's easy money for them. They can go after that. So I'm a little bit on the tip of the spear, if you will, because a lot of people think, well, why do I need cybersecurity? I'm not a big company. And that's exactly why you need it, right? If you have email, that's valuable to people. If you log on to your bank, nowadays you have to have multi-factor authentication in place. None of the banks are allowing you just to log on with a simple password because passwords aren't secure. So that's really the realm that I'm in. And this, at least in my initial focus, is on helping folks in this area, West Central Minnesota, on securing themselves and improving their safety online.
It's such a it really is something that is such a huge focus. I'm in mortgage, and so we are. I mean, it's just hypercritical to have that in place, and even in the real estate realm as well. But I just feel like it certainly is something that's maybe not discussed enough. And I'm sure you can attest to that as well, which is why you're like, I'm gonna found something myself and advocate for this. So,
Well, in fact, too, Kelly, if you think about you in real estate, one of the big targets is if you're about ready to close, right?
Yep. Where
you get ready to close, and if the bad guy is able to access your email and sees that you've got this event coming up, then they can send a message from an outside email to your account and say, hey, I know you're closing tomorrow, but we've had a problem with the bank account. If you don't wire money to this address, this new bank account, we can't close tomorrow. Well, a lot of people, they hit the urgency. The bad guys know that the urgency, fear, they're playing on that. And so if they can get somebody to wire them money, it can be very hard to get money back from a wire, right? So then you show up at closing the next morning and you tell your agent, your real estate agent, hey, I hope you got the money I sent last night. And they're like, no, we needed a check for $400,000 today. What do you mean last night? So that is something where, and we did this in when I was with American. Before we wire money, we want two confirmations, both either in person, preferably, or over the phone or a video call with somebody that you know who they are and you know who you're sending it to. So those are some of the things not to get fooled by. And I'm sure you, in real estate, you brief your folks on that. Hey, don't do anything without something from me.
Yeah, it certainly is a heavy touch point, especially on that title side with having those wire transactions in place. So very important.
And it can get, you know, one of the things I found is it can be a little bit scary to people, right? The whole, even cyber, the word itself, right? You're like, well, what's cyber and where's cyber? It really just refers to us using email. One of the things that I talk about is at most all of our companies are technology companies today, right? So I'll take the salon that's in Glenwood. It's a little small salon. You figure, oh, they're not a technology company. Okay, they do online booking. They pay all of their bills through Square. They've got QuickBooks online. Yeah. They have scheduling software. They've got a website. They've got email, and they invoice their customers. If they get hacked and lose access to their online things, they're out of business.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So that's something that people don't really realize. And a lot of times those are built on personal financial instruments, and then they kind of graduate to, oh, well, I'll tie my Gmail account to the business. And then you start to get into a really risky area. So one of the things I do is a cyber safe checkup, both for individuals or for businesses, where I just come in and say, here, let's see what you're doing. Let's see, make sure you've got everything right. I give an example of here in Glenwood, we have, there's one company I know that's not a technology company, and that's somebody we use for the city. His name's Brad Van Zee, and he runs a landscaping business. Brad has a cell phone, but it has no voicemail. He has, the only way to get a hold of him is if you call him. He handwrites his tickets out and puts it on your door, and he prefers you pay him in cash. So Brad is probably not a technology company. He's got all the customer he needs. And if he needs more, then he runs an ad in the paper to get some more.
You got something cheeky to say over there?
If anybody from the IRS is listening to this podcast, nothing to see here.
Well, I'm sure he does all of his financial reporting just fine. But it's one of those things where it just kind of depends on, I think we've all become more connected than we realize.
Yeah.
Do you have top three things for our listeners, you know, like low-hanging fruit, top three things that you can give our listeners in terms
tips,
of
yeah.
tips?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. On the cyber field, first of all, join Rotary.
So he understood the message. The assignment was good.
Yep. First and foremost, multi-factor authentication. And put it on every account that you want to keep track of. And simply what that means is that when you log on with a username and a password, it's going to send you a text or it's going to send you a message to an authenticator app. But basically a second way. We've all been using multi-factor authentication for years. We just didn't know we were doing it, right? If you ever feed your credit card into an ATM machine, does it spit out all the cash you want?
No.
It asks you for a code. It's asking you for a second factor of authentication. It thinks the card is one factor, but the actual code number you enter, so 1234, hopefully something better than that, but that's the second factor. Same thing with your email, your bank, your 401k accounts. Mm-hmm. And so now we've all, I think it's read up, it's up to now that we've got 200 accounts that we have to access. Well, maybe y'all are better with passwords than I am, but I use a password manager. There's a number of them out there. They're secure. They're good to use. And they're a lot more secure than for you using the same one. So that's one, is passwords, making sure you're using multi-factor authentication and potentially a password manager. Secondarily, the next area you're going to get targeted is on a phishing attack. A phishing attack is simply a technical, we spell it P-H-I-S-H. It's not the group.
Yeah,
it's actually it means that they're phishing or they're trying to get you to click on something or to get you to give them access to your accounts. And it's done very simply. Right. We see a lot of sales guys get targeted with a link that says, hey, we're doing an RFP and we want your company to bid. Here's the link. Click on this link and we'll let you provide a bid. Well, first of all, a customer sending you an RFP out of the blue that you aren't familiar with, you're a price check. At best, right? You don't have a chance for that business. But let's assume that it would be valid and you want to get there. You can click on that link. And when you do, then it pops up a message saying, oh, this file's secure. You have to log on to your Microsoft account to be able to see the file. So then you put in your username and your password for your Microsoft account, and it comes up and says, oh, sorry, wrong password. Try another one. And you put in your username and another password. All the while, they're harvesting that information, right? So that's a phishing attack. They've got false pretenses to try to get you to click on something to give them access. Because the easiest way for a bad guy to get access to an account is to ask you. Simply ask you. And if you tell them the username and password and you don't have multi-factor authentication in place, they're into your account. And they're into your account so fast that they have an organization too, right? We've seen numerous attacks where one person in Texas gets your credentials and they send it to somebody in New York, and that New York person accesses your account to try to see what they can harvest from you. So phishing emails are the bane for, you know, I usually say, and it can be a phishing call too, right? Sometimes they do that it's with a phone call. And if you don't know the number, the easiest way is just send it right to voicemail. Somebody will leave a message and you get back to them. I've got to tell my mother-in-law all the time, don't pick up unknown calls from unknown people. Put the people in the phone and you don't need to. The third thing, Joe, so passwords, number one, phishing emails, watching form, number two. The third thing is updating your software, right? So our computers, I like to say they're like our cars, right? If you drive a car and you never get an oil change to, you know, 130,000 miles, right? Somewhere along that 80,000 miles without an oil change, your car is going to break down. Mm. Computers are the same way. You need to make sure that every month Microsoft sends updates, yet your computer is getting those updates, right? So the Windows updates are coming in monthly. Your phone, we all have a phone, right? So we're all using a phone. That phone needs to be updated as well. And usually that's not monthly. That's probably every other month. But you hit the settings button and you say, is there a software update? Those updates are security patches, right?
Okay.
So a lot of what happens out there and why we need to patch things is people find vulnerabilities. What a vulnerability is it simply means that the software, the device, whatever you're using is vulnerable to attack. Now, does that mean you're attacked? No. Does it mean you're being exploited? No, but you could be, right? Wi-Fi is one. If your Wi-Fi router at home is 5 years old, it can be exploited no matter what you do. There's no patch to help you deal with it because there was about 3.5 years ago, there was a big issue at the foundational level with routers, and routers are those devices that connect you to the internet. So you need to update those about every 3 years and make sure that they're still in sync, right? Those are the three areas, I think, is passwords, watch for phishing messages, and the third one is patch early and patch often. Same thing with your Chrome browser. We're all using browsers now, right? Hopefully you understand how to click on the little hamburger icon up in the upper right-hand corner and ask Chrome if there's a new version, right? Or reboot your computer at least once a week, because once you reboot, it checks for new versions of everything. So
those are really good.
Yeah.
I think I have a couple of key takeaways there. Yeah. Password manager.
And the other one that's kind of hidden in there too that I didn't mention is you can't use, or you shouldn't use, the same password on more than one site ever. And that's one of us that we're like, oh man, I've got a favorite password. I use that on everything. The problem is, unbeknownst to you, the site you're on. So, like, let's say I'm on. I'll pick on Fleet Farm. Is Fleet Farm a sponsor?
No.
Okay. That was okay. That was a good question.
Hey, they could be. Yeah.
So maybe they should be. But yeah. if you have a Fleet Farm account, right? You go and order Fleet Farm, and the password you use is best pass 123
explanation
ampersign, right? And that's it's a good complex password, but you use it on multiple sites.
Yeah.
Well, let's say that Fleet Farm gets hacked, right? They lose control of your user ID, which is probably your email, and your password, right? So if that super secret password, if that is clear, it doesn't even have to be clear text. They can keep the password. It could be encrypted, and they can force that encrypted password into your email system. Well, if you use the same password on the Fleet Farm as you do on the email, now the bad guys that got access to your email. And that's why a password manager is so key, is you can use that to generate unique passwords. Because a lot of us think like, oh, it's an insecure, it's the HOKA shoe site. Why would I need to have a secure password for Hoka Shoes? Well, if you don't, and that password is used on anything else, it can easily get into more identity theft.
Can you tell us a little bit more about a password manager? So is it an app, or is it a website?
You bet.
Is there one that you suggest?
Yes.
I'm writing notes.
I think there's about three or four that are really good.
Okay.
So I use LastPass myself, LastPass, LastPass. Now, have they had security breaches? Sure. Every company has. But are they on top of it? They pretty much are. Another one that I've got folks that use that really like is Dashlane. So Dashlane, Dashlane. That's one that's probably better for non-technical people. So if you're not a technical person, that's a good one. And then 1Password is another one that's pretty good. Most of the password, and there's probably a dozen more that are out there. The best thing about a password manager is it gives you one password to remember, because then you access that password manager and it'll remember your passwords on other sites.
Okay.
And so that's a good way to do it. And that one password that you have to remember, you can even write that down if you're keeping it in a secure place. A lot of people are like, don't write down passwords. Well, yeah, don't write them down and leave them on your desk. But if you write down a password, maybe in a coded message, and put it in your wallet and only you're going to ever see it, that's not a bad thing.
Sure. Those are...
Use one of Conrad's made-up languages.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Our son, he loves to make up languages. Yep. And so, like...
It's
he's just, like, super cryptic. I'm like, gosh, you're going to be working for the FBI.
At some point or another, yeah. Or maybe he'll come work for you, Mike.
And I have to say, like, exactly. Thanks so much for red-pilling us on this. Like, we can't go back anymore. Like,
I know. Like, oh, I know. Oh. Yeah. Well, I got some nice key takeaways for myself personally, but I also got some nice little nuggets of information I'm going to share with my parents.
How do you set up phishing?
My dad would be like, you're talking about fishing, right? Like actual, yep. Like luring in the fish. No, Dad, that's not what we're talking
about. The biggest thing is you don't want to think about it, right? It's like a will. Do we all have a will? Probably not. Most of us don't, right? But you don't want to think about it at the time that you're having an identity attack. When you go to log on to your email and your email says that's not your right password, and then you decide, well, I've got to call Google and tell them that my Gmail password isn't working. Well, first of all, you've got a consumer account, right? You're a personal free account. You don't get to call somebody.
Yeah.
They don't, when I worked at American, we paid over $1 million to Microsoft in all of the software. And I couldn't call somebody, even though I paid them over $1 million. I had to file a ticket and they would check it and then check on their service level and they would get back to me or call me in some period of time. So if you get a call and it says, hi, I'm from Microsoft and you've got a problem with your computer, I want to help you fix it. That's not somebody from Microsoft.
Yeah. Right?
That's a hacker trying to get into your computer.
Sure.
Or if you get a pop-up. Right, you're on another screen, and that pop-up comes up and says, oh, your Rotary account is about ready to expire. Click here to renew it. That's not Rotary telling you to renew an account mm-hmm. through a pop-up message. So yeah. A lot of those things are social engineering. It's try to get you to do something that's wrong.
Well, we've certainly brought searching for service to a different level.
We have.
That Mike, was everybody's free. Like
it was, Mike. We're just about out of time, and I can't believe how quickly this interview has gone. I feel like we only we scraped the tip of the iceberg here with you. So we'll have to have you back on at some point. And we would love that. But what's one quick message that you could give to our listeners regarding service?
I think if anything, like I said earlier, is find your Rotary, right? Or find your service project. Because if there's some way that maybe you can help out one time a month as part of a cybersecurity thing, I'm involved with our local sheriff's department who runs once a month. They do I think they call it lunch with a cop. And they talk about scams that senior citizens are exposed to.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get the word out there. Whether it's civic duty, running for your local council or even attending a local council meeting. Just find out about service. There's a lot of things you can do, and you can do it at your pace. You know, a lot of people think, oh, if I join Rotary, I've got to give up something every week. It's not that at all. You basically have the opportunity to attend what you want. One of my favorite things was to go to the Waterama pancake breakfast. I love seeing everybody coming in for the pancake breakfast. I've ascended the ranks and I'm actually a pancake flipper.
Pancake flipper now, huh?
I am. That's the highest. I've attained the highest position. And I love it. You know, it's a way to see people you might only see once a year. And service is rewarding at so many levels, Joe. I think that's the find what level you want to be rewarded by, because you can do something from once a year to once a week and everywhere in between. And that's frankly what makes America strong, in my point. When we get to big cities and these really big cities where you don't know anybody and everybody's strangers, that's tough to me. I love a small community where you get a lot of, you know, a lot of people and you're all in, you see different people in different events, right?
Yeah.
Where she's the president of the chamber, but she's also the executive director of the United Way.
Yeah.
And she's a friend of mine. So it's those things that are really fun.
Wonderful. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Mike, for taking time out of your busy day to hop on here and be a part of Searching for Service.
You bet. I really appreciate what you guys do and the fact that you can expose Rotary and all the great things. That's so cool. I wish I could be there in the studio. If I do find myself in the cities, I will reach out and let you know. Maybe I'll come in the studio and we can do something on the cyberland.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you for helping us do our Rotary thing.
Yes, yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Searching for Service. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
I'm Chad Larson. We'll be back.
Of the things we think, say, or do.
Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned?
Rotary to serve your community and the world with honesty, fairness, and goodwill. Our four-way test guides our actions every day. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? These values underpin our commitment to making a positive impact on the world. Learn more about your local Rotary Club and stop searching and start serving. And the song you're hearing now was performed by Rotary Club of Dar es Salaam Oyster Bay.
Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build good? Will it better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? When we pay it forward, it will be returned.
Join Rotary to serve your community and the world with honesty, fairness, and goodwill. Our four-way test guides our actions every day. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? These values underpin our commitment to making a positive impact on the world. Learn more about your local Rotary Club and stop searching and start serving. And the song you're hearing right now was performed by the Rotary Club of Saskatoon, Natuna in Canada.
When we pay it forward, it will be returned.
Show off your Rotary Club spirit with Russell Hampton Company. They're the world's largest provider of licensed Rotary items. They make everything like hats, jackets, shirts, banners, and more. Russell Hampton Company is a fourth-generation family-owned and operated business founded in 1920 by a member of the first-ever Rotary Club in Chicago, Club Number 1. When you call Russell Hampton Company, you get more than just a company. You get a fellow Rotarian-owned business who's there to help. No matter if you're ordering for your entire club or just yourself, no order is too big or too small. Not sure what your club needs? Their team members can help and customize just about anything. They live by the Rotary four-way test. They also give 10% of all purchases back to Rotary to support Rotary's global work. So remember, Russell Hampton Company is your one-stop shop for all things Rotary. Learn more at bestclubsupplies.com. That's bestclubsupplies.com. Russell Hampton Company, Rotarians serving Rotarians.
Hello and welcome back to Searching for a Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
That was a pretty amazing interview.
Yeah, I mean, you get a little nervous when you hear about the security stuff.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We've got a lot of work. I hope my parents listen as well.
There's some key takeaways here.
Yeah. What was your biggest key takeaway?
You know, on the cybersecurity side is just like the two-factor authentication and how powerful that is and how banks have really gone to that. And that kind of ticked me off at first, but now I'm like, it's not that big of a deal, and it has a huge impact. And just in general, just being more aware.
Yeah.
Like, I think that we just put our head in the sand and think that everything's fine and nobody's going to come after me.
I get annoyed with the updates always, you know, whether it's your phone or your laptop, or, you know, I'm like, okay, I have to.
Yeah.
Not be annoyed with it. Take the update. And
it's just,
it helps.
Yeah, understanding that it's a component of your cybersecurity. So.
Or if, you know, like you're a tinfoil hat person, is this the update where they hijack all my rights?
Yeah.
They did that a long time ago.
I know I mentioned this in our intro, but that password manager, like having kind of that center focus and then one password and then being able to, as long as you remember that, right? But I think of my parents.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is perfect. Especially my father. My father's the one.
Yeah, we've encountered literal conversations over the phone.
Yeah,
like, I can't find my password. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
It's a nightmare. So
I had it on a post-it on my computer. Like,
But I think all in all, you know, just with Mike and what overall he has done and just that servant mindset has it's had such an impact. And then in addition, his passion around cybersecurity that has just played an integral part in all of the ways that he's served.
Just a Rotarian.
Well, right. And I think what gets lost too, like we don't have enough time to really get into, is like the appeals of small town living and why people live in small towns. Because I think, you know, as city people, we kind of lose that and you go, you know what? We do build a lot of trust, and we do build a lot of – like people wear a million different hats, and that's incredible. So
agreed.
Well, thank you, my friend.
Yes, we certainly hope that you enjoyed this episode with Mike. I'm Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
It's time to stop searching.
And start serving.
We'll see you next week.